I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now Rob Reichel of Forbes.com joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, from the 13th Annual Toy Drive. Robbie, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you being here earlier this week and helping us out with this cause, man. Really do.
Well, you know, I'm thrilled to do it, and I'm always excited when you guys invite me back. It's as good of a cause as we have in the area, and you guys deserve a ton of credit, and your station does, for putting this out there every single year. So major kudos to all you guys, too.
That's Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Conley Media, talking Packers football with us here on the Wendy's.
Hey, Rob, how's it going, my brother?
I'm terrific. How you doing, my friend?
Good. And tell the kids happy holidays, the wife and all. I mean, I really, you know, your family's like my family, so it's all good, my brother. But, Rob.
I'm with you there. I love it when our stuff shows up on Facebook together. So
absolutely. Oh, that's so nice. Why don't people care that the NFL's leading tackler, again, is Blake Martinez? Why people don't
Robbie
care
don't
about
like Blake Martinez, man.
I don't know who he like or not. I'm just saying people
Robbie,
don't
Robbie,
care.
Robbie don't like Blake, cuz.
Come on, Gary. I do. I just Green Bay's just going to have a really interesting decision on how much money can you give a guy where 90% of his tackles are 5 yards downfield, right? I mean, he's kind of H.A. Hawk 2.0, guys. And hey,
this how I
look. Hold on. Who is he, Robbie?
He's an unbelievably bright guy. He is the brains at times of that defense. All the communication runs through him at various times. I mean, he's invaluable. He's got a role that nobody else on that roster really can fulfill. But at the same point in time, he is limited, guys. He doesn't make a lot of.
Robbie, you say he's AJ Hawk 2.0.
Say it again, Gary.
You say he's AJ Hawk 2.0.
I would say that's a fair comparison.
Yeah,
but
see, there you go,
to Blake
Steve.
Martinez, he's a fourth round draft pick, and Hawk was the fifth pick in the draft. So
yeah.
You know, so Blake has gotten everything and then some out of his ability, and you could argue, you know, you didn't get enough out of AJ Hawk where you took him at pick number five. But you know, Blake struggles to cover. Again, he doesn't make a lot of real gigantic impact plays through the course of the game. So Green Bay's going to have a tricky decision, guys. I know they're going to want him back. I think he wants to come back. But, you know, can they come to an agreement on what a player like that is worth? Because, I mean, they can't give him, you know, Za'Darius and Preston Smith kind of money. I'm not sure they can give him Adrian Amos money. Maybe somewhere in that range, but I don't know if the budget's going to allow that. So, they're going to have to decide if they can find a cheaper alternative in the draft or if they can, you know, or if life without Blake Martinez is just kind of something they can't go on with.
Yeah, well, they'll be fine. Okay, so let's talk about this Packer game coming up against the Washington Redskins. We had Ryan Wood on, and we were just asking him, you know, do you see any chance of how this thing gets away from the Packers? And he really couldn't see how it happens. I'll ask you the same thing. Do you see any way where they could possibly lose this game against the Redskins? And if so, how does it happen?
Well, Sparky, I didn't see any way Wisconsin football as a 31-point favorite to go and lose in Champaign, Illinois either. So,
true.
I mean, strange things do happen. You guys have watched plenty of sports through the years. Nobody thought the Nationals would win the World Series and North Carolina State would win the NCAA championship in 83. I mean, bizarre things do happen, but it would take a 3-4-0 turnover advantage for Washington, which seems extremely unlikely. They're going to have to keep the ball, guys, 36-plus minutes in this game with Peterson and Geist just hammering away. And something like that is a little more possible, I would say, with Green Bay's suspect run defense. Washington does have a really good offensive line, and those two running backs are pretty good. But Spark, at the end of the day, I mean, Washington is dead last in football in points scored. They are dead last in total offense. I think they're 31st in red zone offense. They're not very good in red zone defense. I mean, this is a team that's going to pick in the top five, and this Green Bay team isn't anything like the Green Bay team that lost at home last year to Arizona, which eventually led to the Mike McCarthy firing. So, you know, Spark, I laid out a couple of crazy things that could happen. which, you know, would lead Washington to maybe hang around by the end of the game. But again, I think those are extremely unlikely, and that 13 or 14 point spread is probably right on.
When you look at the Packers, you're right, and I totally agree with you how that's going to wash out. I saw somewhere where Aaron Rodgers is saying that what he's around the back nine and he knows he doesn't have much time to. What do you think of those comments that he made?
Well, to me, Gary, the funny follow-up to that was, what hole are you on? And he said, I just made the turn, which would mean he'd play till about 52, give or take. And we know that's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, he's a smart guy. He came in, what, 05? So this is year 15 in Green Bay for Aaron.
Right.
I mean, we all talk about 40 and 42 and stuff like that not being possible, but there haven't been a whole lot of Tom Brady's and a whole lot of Drew Brees's and a whole lot of Brett Favre's through the years. I know these guys take probably far better care of their bodies, and we know far more about nutrition and right. off-season work and conditioning than probably when you and Gary, when you and Leroy played, yeah. you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Yes.
But you still have to be extremely fortunate. I mean, ask Steve Young and some of these guys, Peyton Manning, all it takes is one hit and your career can head south in a hurry. So I think his end goal, guys, is certainly, you know, he turned 36, I think, on Monday. His end goal is obviously to get into the 40s, but that's a lot easier said than done. And this is year two of that four-year contract that in the extension that he signed with Green Bay a year and a half ago. And guys, I think once he gets to the end of that contract, it might be, you know, it might be time for him to hit another team. We'll see where he's at that point in time.
Yeah,
but,
and we had a discussion today.
When you get to 40, Gary, that, you know, that's a huge coup these days.
Yeah, we had that discussion today. Would you re-up him?
There is no way at this point in time to know, Gary. So much of that is going to be determined by injury, where he's at health-wise. I mean, if he suffers another injury or two, guys, like he did in 13 and 17, where he missed half the season, and you're really worried that, you know, you can't get more than 8 or 10 games out of him in a given year, then no. I mean, if he's playing like he is today, Gary, then yes, but it's 2019, and this contract goes through 2021. So
right.
I really don't think we'll have an answer on that until, you know, probably the better part of the next 24 months, Gary.
When would you draft another quarterback?
Now.
Thank you.
In the first round. I'm talking about first
maybe
round.
Maybe not round one, but maybe round two or three. I'd start taking one every year at some point in time, Gary. And, you know, much like Ron Wolf used to do, and obviously New England had success, you know, with Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett and guys that they, you know, they found. I think Garoppolo was two and Brissett was later, guys that they developed just to have a plan B and
yeah.
something in place. Gary, I thought with that extra draft capital last year they were going to go ahead and take one. That was the year, you remember, they had the extra first-round pick
from
the previous year when they made the trade to drop down and eventually took Jair Alexander. I thought last year they'd jump on one. I just don't know, guys, moving forward, if, you know, Tim Boyle's the answer necessarily. And they're going to hit a point pretty soon here where they're going to say, well, we really need to start grooming a replacement. I had a conversation with Rodgers about that 3 or 4 years ago, and, you know, and he said he knows the day is coming, and he's going to try, he said, to handle it far better than Brett Favre ever did. And, you know, he also said, I have no idea how I'll handle it until the kid gets here and we see how the working relationship is. So, but that day is almost here, Gary. I would say in the 2020 draft, for sure, they've got to take one at some point in time. And then you're thinking about it every year based on how that pick works out.
But don't you think, you're talking with Rob Reichel here of Forbes and Conley Media, don't you think though, Rob, the way that they built this team between Goody and Matt LaFleur, knowing that this day is coming for Aaron Rodgers, you want to build it more around the ground game, build it more around the defense, so you're not in a position where you have to rely on a Hall of Fame quarterback in order to win football games.
No, I think that makes sense. Is, you know, he kind of gets to the twilight years spark of his career. I don't always use ESPN's QBR stat, but I know they've been hyping the stat that since 2017 he's right in the middle of the pack in terms of overall QBR in this league. And, you know, I'm a bigger believer in the passer rating stat. That the guys, if you look over the last 2.5 years, he's had moments of brilliance, but he's also had stretches in there where he hasn't been very good. And I'm with you, Spark. Yeah, I'm not sure at this point in time he can carry a team to a Super Bowl championship like he could a decade ago. So without question, you know, you need a stud running back, and you need a dominant offensive line, and you need a defense. The problem is, guys, even with all the money they've invested in that defense, defense. The defense really hasn't held up its end of the bargain this year. And outside of the red zone numbers, which are obviously terrific, they haven't been very good between the 20s. And once you get to the playoffs, you guys know when you see Russell Wilson, when you see Drew Brees and people like that, it's a lot trickier to stop those guys in the red zone than it is, you know, a kid like Daniel Jones or the Washington kid they'll see this weekend.
Yeah, I one thing I saw Jamal Williams on the injury report, and we're going to talk about that later with a knee injury. I'm sure he'll be available because the Washington defense is just so bad. But the two people I want to ask about who's been missing all year is Oren Burks and Scantling. Now, these two guys has to have a prominent role because they're draft picks, and you're hoping that they someday contribute. So we got about 10, 15 seconds, but I just don't understand how can you have that many receivers and don't get a contribution from these guys. And I don't get the Oren Burks thing.
Yeah, I don't get the Burks thing either, other than Leroy, when he came back from that injury, they gave him some work early, and they just didn't like the end results, and they felt better bringing in the extra safety or going longer with Goodson. Was the second guy you asked about MVS?
Yes.
Again, just kind of falling out of favor since Adams came back and went back to X. His role has obviously decreased, and Lazard has picked up his production. They need more out of him, though, without question, Leroy, down the stretch, because, you know, the rest of these wideouts are nothing to write home about, and they need a speed guy on the outside that can stretch a defense. I think they're going to try to incorporate him more over the last month, but no question, Leroy, he's been a forgotten man here in recent weeks.
Rob, appreciate it, man. I heard you say 13 or 14 points, and I got the number at 12.5. So I feel very, very happy about my decision with taking the Green Bay Packers this weekend and giving those points and just laying them right down on the table.
Yeah, I'll go 31-17, I think, guys. I think if it's 12-13 right in that range, they cover. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. It sounds like you guys got a heck of a show coming up, though, too, with Stearns and Sidney Moncrief, one of my boyhood heroes. So, again,
yeah, he's next.
Yes, kudos to you guys for everything you're doing down there.
Right. Rob, appreciate it, Robbie. Man. Good talking to you, man. We'll talk next week, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks much.
That's Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Conley Media, joining us here talking Packers football. Long-time coverage of the Green Bay Packers. This Rob Reichel have very distinguished career. He knows just about as – he knows where the bodies are buried. I know that's one of our favorite quotes here on the Wendy's Big Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.